Circle of Friends, that's a great song about community. We have three scripture readings that kind of go along with community because we're going to be talking about welcoming people, hospitality, living together in terms of Christian community. And the three scripture readings are, first of all, from Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, and 1 Peter chapter 2, 10, and Galatians 3, 28. Let us listen for the word of God as it comes to us from these particular words of God.
May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
And from 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For
all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Open minds.
Open minds.
Open doors.
Open doors.
Several years ago, the United Methodist Church decided to put on a nationwide campaign to get the word out that people are welcome to come worship and to be a part of the United Methodist Church. We're living in a different day now when many people feel good about Jesus, but they don't feel particularly warm about the church. And so in our culture, there are all kinds of barriers that exist. And one of the barriers that exists is this kind of feeling that if I were to show up at church, I don't know whether I'd be accepted. I might be judged. It might be easier for me just to let the church be the church and for me to go my own way. But all of us who are part of the church know that that's not the way it's supposed to be. The church should be a place of blessing. And so we put on this nationwide campaign called Open Hearts, Open Minds, Open Doors, a series of video clips in which people would see it, and then they were invited to go to their nearest local church that particular weekend. Many thousands of people responded. I'd like to show you one of those video clips right here.
If you're searching for ways to share your gifts with others and possibly even receive something in return, our hearts, our minds, and our doors are always open. The people of the United Methodist Church.
That was only 30 seconds. I've been thinking about open hearts, open minds, and open doors, and here's the way I'd like to kind of share it with you today. A series of three questions that I want you to take with you when you leave here today. Here are the three questions. These are the thoughts that I've been having lately about church. Are the arteries of our heart open for the love of God to flow through to others? Or are they hardened and clogged, restricting the flow? That's question number one. Question number two. Are our minds open to learn and to grow? Or are they closed and confined to the status quo? Question number two. And now for the last one, question number three. Are the doors of the church open to welcome and receive? Or are they closed and shut only to deceive? Those are the three questions that I'd like for us to ponder today. They're very, very, very important for us because we endeavor to be the very body of Christ, to be the church today. And it's so very important that our hearts be open, our minds be open, and our doors be open. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. Community is a great gift. To know that there is a place that of people who welcome me, accept me, a place I can belong, a place I can serve, a place in which I can grow. Community is a great gift. There are people who are there for me, even as I am there for them. But one of the dangers of community is this, that over time, it's so easy for communities, but right now I'm speaking particularly about a church, it's so easy for a community or for a church to become exclusive rather than inclusive. To eventually turn inward rather than outward. That's the real danger. One of the things that I really like about this church is that a long, long, long time ago, when Carrie was very, very small, and this church was very, very small, it was consisted of what I call the old Carrieites. Some of them are still living today. I know many of them. I visit them in their homes, and I always tell them, God bless you. Because those persons had no idea that people from all over the world, all over the nation, would one day move to Cary. And they'd come from the north, they'd come from the further south, east, west, all over the world. And so many of these so-called old Caryites, they really did open their hearts and they opened their minds and they opened their doors. And if they had not have done that, this church would not have grown over the years. But they did all that, and so I'm so grateful that they did that. And what I want to talk with you about today is how very important it is for us to continue to do that. Because over time, it's easy for persons to become comfortable with one another and then to turn inward rather than outward, even in the church. The early church started as a community of Jewish people who came to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And they began to worship, continued to worship in the synagogue. And so the very first Christians were Jews. But the message of Jesus went out, and the next thing you knew, they were Gentiles. Gentiles is just a fancy word for non-Jewish people. In the Bible, it also means Greeks. But Gentile is, if you're like me, welcome to the club. I am a Gentile. Okay? And the Gentiles began to understand that Jesus had come for them, and they accepted him as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then you began to have Jews and Gentiles together, two groups of people who had never really been together in worship before, and the church had to learn a very, very, very important lesson. And that was, it was open even to Gentiles. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is a wonderful verse that we read just a while ago. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. The church began to discover more and more and more that it was open to everyone. And so the Jews and the Gentiles learned through many trials and errors. It wasn't always easy, but they learned how to eat together, worship together, serve together. And lo and behold, other people showed up. People across socioeconomic boundaries. There were people who were very well off. There were also people who were serving as slaves in some people's homes. And they came together at the Lord's table. And it was many trials and tribulations about how to learn together. But the church learned how to live together and learned how to continue to open hearts and open minds and open doors. And so you had a group of people who had never existed before, worshiping, serving, fellowshipping, eating. And so as time went on, some of the Gentiles felt very, very, very comfortable. And they needed to be reminded. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. They needed to be reminded. There was a time when you were an outsider. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. They needed to be reminded that at one time they were outsiders, and therefore they were to be sensitive to persons who felt as if they were on the outside. And they were to especially be open to reaching out to persons who sensed that somehow or another that they were on the outside. Do you know who makes the best leaders in the church today? I mean the church today in this age and in this time. The best leaders of the church, I believe, are those persons who at one time were outsiders and experienced what it was like to be on the outside, but then came and came to know Christ and came to know his community, and then they energized the whole church to reach out like never before, because those very persons know what it feels like not to have a family, not to have a place to belong, to wonder whether they'd be accepted. They knew what it was like to be rejected, but they didn't know what it was like to be accepted. You see, it's sort of like those folks never forgot where they came from, and so they went back to where they came from to reach others. And so the Gentiles had to learn that lesson. After a while, they had to learn. You know, there was a time when you were an outsider, now you're an insider, so let's continue to open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors. And so the church grew and grew, and then Paul reminds people in such a wonderful way in his epistle to the Romans, welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Well, wow. And so here we are today. Here we are today, August the 11th, 2013. We're an interesting group here this morning. We really are different people. And we're still encouraged to welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful thing when the church gets it right. It's a beautiful thing. I got lots of stories I could tell, but I only want to tell just a couple. One is a very quick story about Tommy. I told a story about Tommy many years ago, the story about Tommy and the red lawnmower. I'll say that again for Pentecost, but here's the one I want to tell about today. In Rich Square, North Carolina, a small town in eastern North Carolina, population less than 2,000. That was the largest town in Northampton County. You had to leave the county to find a McDonald's or a Hardee's. And that's where I was privileged to serve as pastor of Rich Square United Methodist Church. It was a small church, consisted mostly of farmers. There were a lot of peanut farmers. I loved it because they drove their truck down the road and peanuts would fall out the back and I'd collect them and I'd have some good peanuts for the whole week. But nonetheless, it was still interesting because in that town, which was a lot like Mayberry, everybody sort of knew their place, and they kind of stayed in their place, and so I would walk around town, and I'd think, man, how in the world are we going to grow our church? Everybody's kind of happy with where they are, and I said, you know, we need to reach out, and people were willing to reach out, but we all needed help. What did that mean? Well, somehow or another, we were going to have a special reach out to the community movie night. We're going to show Gospel Roads, a movie put together by Johnny Cash when he took his crew over to the Holy Land and filmed this. And so I was out in the neighborhood handing out flyers, knocking on every door. It's very interesting, very interesting. I knock on the door and say, I'm from the Methodist Church, and I'd like to invite you to a program we're having in our church on Sunday night. It's a movie night. They said, well, we're Baptists. I'm saying, so you're Baptists. I said, okay, all right. Just about everybody I knocked on their door, they were all Baptists, so they couldn't come. But anyway, so then I got to thinking, I said, you know, it doesn't look like this thing's going to be too good here. I was reaching out to the community. Everybody's already Baptist. And I hope, you know, the Methodists will be there. So anyway, and this little boy came up by my side, and he said, sir, what are you doing? And he looked like Opie, except he wasn't as cute as Opie. And he had some buck teeth, and his hair kind of stuck out like that. And he had the biggest tennis shoes I've ever seen. And his T-shirt was kind of torn, and his pants was kind of soiled. And he said, what are you doing, mister? And I said, I'm handing out these things, and I got a whole lot more to go. And he said, can I help you? And I said, sure. Let's hurry up and just put them in, people, knock on the door, give them to people, invite them, so forth. There was a ball game on that afternoon, and I wanted to hurry up and get home to the ball game. So I was glad this little boy came. But then he asked me, sir, can I come to the church? I said, gosh, I didn't even think about that. Tommy, yes, you can come. And Tommy, you're really going to enjoy it because it's going to be a great movie. It's a movie by Johnny Cash, Gospel Road, about the Holy Land. But we're going to have popcorn. We're going to have sodas. We're going to have refreshments. And you just come as you are. And so, sure enough, Tommy came and he brought his mother and father. And they lived in a house that had holes all on the front door, no screen. The cats and the dogs walked in and out as they pleased. And they invited their friends to come in and out as they pleased. And it was really something. I had never even been to his house until after he came to the church. I went to visit he and his parents. But they showed up that night, And so we had the lights out in the sanctuary. We're watching the movie, and then I hear crunch, 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 crunch. Then I hear a little fella get up from the third pew, and he walked out, came back with another large Pepsi. He had gone back in the fellowship hall and brought all the popcorn that he and his parents wanted to eat, and it was just falling out of the tub, and he had his sodas and everything, and there he was watching the movie right in our nice sanctuary with the new carpet that we had just put down. But he was enjoying the movie, and he was laughing, eating the popcorn, and there's little kernels all over the floor and a little Coke bottle, and boy, he's enjoying the popcorn. And I got to thinking to myself, oh, no. I didn't mean for him to eat the popcorn and drink the drinks in the sanctuary. We're supposed to do that after the movie in the fellowship hall. And then the Lord went, wait a minute. Something important is happening here. Pay attention. And I'm so glad that that congregation paid attention because they didn't say a thing. Matter of fact, they gathered around that little family and they waited on them and they served them and they made sure they had all the popcorn they wanted and all the drinks they wanted. And after the movie, they got to know them and they went to their homes and they invited them back. And Tommy was baptized in that church and his parents joined that church. And well, that family had struggles, but that church became their family. And I got to thinking about that. That was a church with open doors, open hearts, open minds, and open doors. It would have been so easy to have said, well, you know what? It's getting messy in here. We can't have this. If the church is going to be the church today, it's going to have to get messy. We're going to have to be willing to let anybody and everybody come as they are and to greet them and welcome them as Christ Himself has welcomed us. And you know what? It could get very messy, and that's going to be the litmus test of the church. You see, I believe that people love Jesus. They don't know about His church. They don't know about His followers. But let's say this. Let's say that all of a sudden they began to come to church. Will they be turned away or will they be welcomed? That's the litmus test. You know what? Jesus was a rabbi. He was a radical rabbi. In His day and time, rabbis were teachers, and people would compete to see who could get in the rabbi's class. If you were smart enough, if you studied enough, you could become a disciple of a rabbi. But you had to be accepted by that rabbi. You had to pass the test to be the student of that rabbi. But Jesus was a different kind of rabbi. Jesus was the rabbi who invited anyone and everyone who would follow to come and see. And he opened it up to fishermen and tax collectors. It was said of Jesus, look who He eats with, look who He fellowships with. And it was to those very persons themselves that became the first members of His group. And He had 12. It started out with 12. And well, Jesus was the most inclusive person there ever was. You see, He didn't believe that it was His job to ration the love of God. That God's love was for everyone. And through Him, they would come to know that love. And through His disciples, the world would come to know that love. But it would require open hearts, open minds, and open doors. This coming week, I have a challenge for you. You see, wherever we go, we are the church. If we're at work, we're the church. If we're in the neighborhood, we're the church. If we're on the schoolyard, we're the church. Wherever we go, we're the church. And so here's the challenge for us this week. A prayer that I want you to pray. It's printed in your bulletin. Lord, increase my ability to love and expand my capacity to include. I want you to think about who are those groups of people that perhaps you don't mean to. It's not that you're mean or anything, but who might be those persons or groups that somehow or another you seek to exclude or not be around? Now, I want you to write this prayer down on a card, and I want you to put it on your mirror, your dashboard, or on your desk at work, or somewhere where you can see it, be reminded of it throughout the day. Perhaps keep the card in your pocketbook or in your pocket your billfold. I want you to take it out and read it. And I want you to pray that prayer during the day. And as you run into people, as you encounter people, and especially those persons around whom you may feel less comfortable, I especially want you to pray that prayer and see how it would change you. And around all persons, begin to ask yourself, what might it be like to be God's welcome to people? And this coming week, I want you to write a list of those people that perhaps you don't maybe know how to associate with, but you're going to make a special attempt to connect with and to some sort of way be an extension of God's grace. I want you to pray that prayer. Lord, increase my ability to love, expand my capacity to include. It will challenge you, but it'll also help you to understand what Jesus did. In every human encounter, Jesus was an open heart, an open mind, and an open door through which persons could receive something of the love of God. When persons sense that we're Christians wherever we are and they experience something of grace in us, coming through us to them, they'll want to come to church. And then hopefully when they come to church, we ourselves will be a community that can surround them and can help them to feel like, yes, you're welcome. The invitation for prayer is simply this today. There are people who are still struggling even here. Am I accepted? Am I included? Yes. God's invitation goes out to everyone that He is building a new community. The church is not an institution. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit creating a new kind of community in which all persons have a place of belonging and acceptance because God is doing a new thing in the world today. And if you're one of those persons who's struggling with, am I accepted? Am I loved? I want you to know that you can come here and Polly and I will pray with you to help you to understand that yes, indeed, you are accepted and you're loved and you have a place within the family of God. I also want you to know that you're challenged to go forth from this place and to extend that welcome to others. Let us stand.
Make way for the Lord. We hunger for you. new, we will open up our doors. We believe in God the Father. We believe in His Son, the Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. They are the vision, they're the light. The church, the communion of saints, Christ died and He rise to forgive our mistakes. So to this broken and fallen world, open our hearts, open our minds. We open our hearts, open our minds. Open your hearts, open your minds. We cry glory, we cry glory to the Father and Son, the Spirit in one. Glory never ending. Glory, amen. We cry glory. We cry glory to the Father and Son, the Spirit in one. Glory never. His Son, the Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. They are the vision, they're the light. We believe in the church, the communion of saints, who's died and did rise to forgive our mistakes. So to this broken and fallen world, we open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors.
Our benediction, just a couple of announcements. The prayer that I want you to take with you today is, Lord, increase my ability to love and enlarge my capacity to include. And there are cards like this on the celebration station. You'll have to write those words down, but they're in your bulletin. So take your bulletin home, and if you'd like a card, you can pick up a card over here. A couple of quick announcements. I'd like for you to welcome Renee Westditch. Following the service, she'll be with Polly and I over at the door with the exit sign on there. Two other little quick things. First of all, met a lovely lady here this morning by the name of Marilyn, and she's a dramatist. She's just here in this area for the year, for this year. She's from the University of Florida on faculty. She does drama. She loves it. If anybody is interested in doing drama, putting together some skits, doing any kind of thing creatively with drama, I'd like for you to come see me, and we're going to start that discussion and see what we can do in here. The other thing is this. We have a person who's very, very gifted in serving others, and she is willing to go to someone who needs someone to sit with them, perhaps an elderly parent or someone that you know, and see me if you're interested in. Tanya Smith is a member of our church here, and she's willing to serve in that capacity. Sometimes you may know of a need. Persons are looking for someone to perhaps sit with someone a day or two of the week for a couple of hours. See me for that as well. Now receive this benediction. as Christ welcomed and accepted people, go forth to be the welcome and the acceptance for others. Thank you, dear Lord, that these are your people. They belong to you. And during this week, as they pray this prayer, open their hearts, open their minds, and open the doors of their spirits that others may come to know your love through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, the communion of saints, Christ died and he rise to forgive our mistakes to this broken and fallen world. We open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors. We open our hearts, open our minds, open our doors. We open our hearts.